to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
With Gene and Chris and our panelist Gogs Mackay, we have Robert Hastings, author of UFOs and Nukes. Chris is up next with questions.
Yeah, Robert, you mentioned in the previous segment that, George Knapp was able to confirm and actually smuggle documents back from the Soviet Union in the early 90s that indicate that it's not only a U.S. problem on missile sites, but also the Soviet Union has had similar types of events. To what extent, I'm sure we don't really fully know, but how about China? Or some of the other nuclear powers, do we have any smoking gun evidence that China or maybe French nuclear testing out in the South Pacific, let's say in the 50s and into the 60s, do we have any other international type cases?
Well, let's look at the French cases first. Let me preface my remarks by saying that I have largely focused on both the U.S. and the former Soviet Union, so my knowledge of what I'm about to say is peripheral and certainly does not involve direct research, but there are credible information available on the internet that I found indicating that on at least three occasions UFO activity was observed by French nuclear technicians testing nuclear weapons in French Polynesia in the 1960s. And I can't pull the gentleman's name off the top of my head, but his credentials have been verified. He was part of the French nuclear testing program. China, which obviously is a major player in the world, and even, well, it was less so in the 60s, but they did have nuclear weapons from 1964 on. One would assume, and I am quite convinced, that there was indeed UFO monitoring, perhaps even tampering with Chinese nuclear weapons. But it's such a closed society. It is so difficult to get information even today about military affairs that I have not found anything despite my many efforts to find credible information out of China. I haven't. On the other hand, India tested its first weapon in the 70s, if I'm not mistaken, and the Pakistanis in the late 90s. And I'm aware of what I consider to be credible reports online relating to UFO sightings around the test areas in both India and Pakistan. They are arch enemies because of the Hindu-Muslim, rivalry, or whatever the word would be. And so, unfortunately, if there's going to be a flashpoint, the odds of having a major U.S.-Russian exchange, at least at this point in time, have been reduced significantly. But other areas of the world, like the Pakistani-Indian area, that may well flare up at some point in time, and they both have nukes. So I would assume that there's some interest on the part of whoever are flying the disc-shaped craft that have been reported at American and Russian sites.
India and Pakistan actually have been in a undeclared state of war since the Kashmir, conflict started 35, 40 years ago. I think even longer, closer to 50 years. And it would be interesting to get more information on some of the UFO sightings that have been seen flying down this valley that lies between these two opposing forces up there. That's one area that has had recently in the last, I think, 3 or 4 years, some pretty interesting UFO reports.
I've got a quick point and a question. The quick point is, we were talking about possible motives for the interference at nuclear facilities. I'd wondered, Robert kind of touched on this, I'd wondered if it was a possible warning stroke kind of monitoring about the environmental side of things, and perhaps Robert can answer whether there's been any UFO interest over nuclear waste storage facilities, those ones that are separate from, like active facilities. And another question I had is, actually, we're hearing about interference of missiles, and for instance, in the Rendlesham case, supposedly there was a quote, the ordnance was adversely affected. I wonder, more specifically than that, and more scientifically than that, does Robert know of any actual changes in the nuclear material itself, the actual isotopes, as like, has there been any detected change in half-life or the decay series elements of anything like that, a kind of a chemical or physical change in the actual nuclear material? Has there ever been any information about that?
Let me hopefully remember all of those various questions, taking them one at a time. I have heard rumors from a couple of my ex-military sources about rumors they had heard within their squadrons about when the warheads were inspected, that the plutonium had found to have been adversely affected. In other words, it would not have allowed for a nuclear detonation. I have to say that evidence, or those anecdotal statements, to me, I don't consider as credible. Without getting into all the details, they weren't really detailed. They weren't really first-hand accounts. They were just rumors floating around. I'm not aware of, although I'm sure there have been, UFO activity at nuclear storage facilities. I will, however, say that there is a persistent story. In fact, it's been reported in both the Ukrainian and the Russian press in the early 90s that when the Chernobyl nuclear reactor exploded in April 1986, among the persons on scene within hours were Soviet radiation monitoring teams. Apparently, according to these articles in both the Russian and Ukrainian media in the early 90s, some of the people, or at least one of the people assigned to one of these teams, has gone on the record as saying that they had already taken radiation readings, which were just ridiculously high. Then this brass-colored sphere appeared above the reactor and allegedly sent down two crimson-colored beams into the reactor. This gentleman alleges that this object was there for some 3 to 5 minutes before racing away. He further said in these articles that when they took their next reading of the ambient radiation, it was, I believe, reduced by two-thirds or three-quarters. I'd have to look at the appendix in my book to get the details, but significantly reduced. Now, assuming, one, that this is accurate reporting, you know, and that this indeed occurred, I don't think there's any known scientific explanation for radioactive decay being artificially reduced to such a dramatic degree in a short period of time. Yeah. I'm unaware of any way that we can do that, or whether it's even considered theoretically possible. But that was the report. Before we get too further along the road here, let me mention something about Rendlesham Forest. In my book, devote a whole chapter to the incidents in December of 1980 at Rendlesham Forest and then also RAF Bentwaters, where at that time it was leased by the U.S. Air Force. They had the largest nuclear weapons depot in Western Europe at RAF Bentwaters. Based on information I have from my sources, it contained tactical nuclear bombs, that is, battlefield nukes that would be delivered to mainland Europe in the case of Soviet invasion of Western Europe. Jet fighters would fly these tactical nukes and hope to blunt a Soviet offensive. I have witnesses who have said, including Colonel Halt, who said he heard on the radio chatter from guards at the weapons storage area of a UFO hovering over that site, sending down beams of light into it. Now, I interviewed him in 06. He had already made statements to that effect on the program Unsolved Mysteries in 1991. I asked him about that at length in my taped interview. He declined to answer specific questions confirming the presence of nuclear weapons, because that's official Air Force policy. You don't confirm or deny the presence of locations of weapons. But he did confirm that he heard radio chatter while he was out in the farmer's field next to the woods. Most people know that story, tromping around looking at strange lights in Rendlesham Forest. He did confirm to me on this audio tape conversation that he did hear radio chatter, very excited chatter by guards at the weapons storage area of a UFO sending down beams of light into it. Nearly a decade prior to my conversation with Colonel Halt, I interviewed another retired Air Force colonel. I am not at liberty to identify him. I know who he is. I know his credentials. He was very, very high up in the NATO nuclear weapons security apparatus.
We have Robert Hastings joining us, and he'll give you the rest of that answer in our next segment. With Gogs Mackay, Gene Steinberg, Chris O'Brien, you're in
the Paracast. Yeah.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Hi, this is Gary Cooper with Midas Resources Gold and Silver. Don't be surprised when the global elite confiscates money from your bank account one day. They have already very clearly telling you that they're going to do it. With what just happened in Cyprus serving as a blueprint for future bank bailouts, if you are concerned about keeping your money, why not consider storing your wealth in gold and silver? Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130. Together we'll discuss your options of buying gold and silver. Again, the global elite have plans for your money, and it doesn't include you. So call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130, and I will send you a booklet with 10 reasons why gold and silver could be right for you. Again, don't get caught with money in your account when the next bank bailout hits. Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130.
What's safer and cheaper than prescription drugs?
Glad you asked. The answer is Renovation Teas. Herbal remedies are much safer and much cheaper than prescription drugs. Taste great, and most importantly, herbal teas are effective and non-addictive. Renovation Tea is especially unique, and here's why. We spent years researching herbs and their beneficial properties. Renovation Teas uses only 100% organic, fair trade herbs. Our teas are blended towards specific ailments and health conditions, such as diabetes, blood pressure, anxiety, libido, detox, and much more. All Renovation Teas are formulated and hand-filled in Arkansas. Take care of yourself naturally, the way Mother Nature intended. Order Renovation Teas at renovationtea.com or call 870-784-3121. That's 870-784-3121. Renovation Teas. Renovate your health one bag at a time.
We travel so much, and having a fake TV, well, it gives added peace of mind.
Burglars look for houses that appear to be easy targets. But fake TV can fool even professional burglars into thinking someone is home watching television.
As a recent widow living alone, it gives me great peace of mind to set my fake TV near a window and know that passing motorists and pedestrians will think someone is home watching TV when I'm actually away from home.
Fake TV easily plugs into any outlet, just like a light on a timer.
And they're so easy to use. You just plug them in and they're ready to go. Plus, they're so affordable that we have one upstairs and downstairs.
Fake TV is only $29.95 with free shipping. Order your fake TV by calling 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. That's 877-532-5388 or faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Gene, Chris, and Goggs talking to Robert Hastings, author of UFOs and Nukes. He was talking about more of his evidence with regard to UFOs at nuclear installations and everything, and we had to break up that answer, which now, Robert, you can finish.
In 1994, in Albuquerque, I interviewed a retired Air Force colonel who was previously attached to the NATO nuclear weapons security group at a very high level, and he confirmed to me, much to my surprise, that in fact, just days after this object apparently hovered over the RAF Bentwaters nuclear weapons storage area, sending down beams of light into it. Two tactical nukes, this colonel said, were loaded aboard a C-5A aircraft and flown to Kirtland Air Force Base, where there is a nuclear weapons analysis laboratory, and they were, in fact, analyzed. Now, this gentleman claimed to have read a report detailing all of that. When I asked him what the findings of the inquiry, the investigation of the weapons were, he claimed that that information was not in the report that he read and therefore does not know the outcome of that. But at the very least, it appears that the Air Force took that situation seriously enough to remove two of these nukes. How they determine which ones to remove from which bunker, there are multiple bunkers at the weapons storage area, I don't really know. Let me quickly summarize my knowledge of the Rendlesham Forest Bentwaters case by saying that in 2007, I personally tracked down the two Air Force air traffic controllers who were on duty that week during all of that activity. No one else in the last 30-something years ever took the took the initiative to do that. I located them, identified them, Ike Barker and Jim Carey. I conducted audio tape interviews with them, and what they each told me independently was they tracked a bona fide UFO the night that Colonel Halt was in the woods. This is important because skeptics have continually said, no, they were just looking at this lighthouse through the woods or, you know, some such prosaic explanation for what Halt and the others out there in the woods reported. What these two air traffic control controllers told me was that they tracked an object that covered 120 miles in 8 seconds. And one of the controllers remembers that during that period when they were watching this object on radar, it did a 90-degree right-angle turn. Moreover, one of the controllers who looked up from the scope and out the window said he saw at the moment when this object hovered momentarily, he looked out and saw hovering over the base water tower a glowing orange sphere. And he said that it was there for just 2 or 3 seconds and then zipped off to the southwest, just to the west of the weapons storage area. So the skeptics, the debunkers can say all they want about this not being a UFO, that it simply was a lighthouse, but the two guys who were monitoring their air traffic control scope that night said that they tracked a bona fide UFO, that one of them saw out the window, one of them said did a 90-degree turn, and it apparently was quite near the weapons storage area when it left the vicinity.
Goggs, you had a question.
Yeah, very quick one, Robert. Have you had any personal UFO experiences?
I have seen, beginning in 1970, and I think the last one was 2001, I've seen 6 separate objects, one at a time, some in daylight, some in the evening, quite clearly anomalous aerial objects. They were not aircraft. The daylight sightings involved a silver cigar with no tail fins, no markings of any kind. It was not a cruise missile. It was like, if you can imagine, a cigar with, you know, tapered tips, clearly moving through the sky north of Albuquerque in daylight. I've also seen a disc in broad daylight near my farm, near Chicago back in the mid-70s. I've seen a similar disc in southwestern New Mexico in broad daylight, maneuvering through the sky. I've also seen other objects that were luminous plasma balls, but performing maneuvers that no aircraft on Earth can do, and quite clearly were not ball lightning or anything like that. So aside from those 6 sightings, no, I can't say that I've had a personal UFO experience.
At least you had 6 sightings. I've had none. I have a fast question to ask before we go on, and we do have a lot of listener questions, as you know, Robert, and that is, okay, we have all these cases of UFOs in and around nuclear installations, but you think if they were really concerned about our nuclear program, they'd be around all the time, not just here and there.
Well, 2 points come to mind. First, I would say my research is just scratching the surface. I think for every case that I know about, there's probably 100 or 1,000, who knows, cases over the last 70 years that I'll never know about because the witnesses haven't come forward to me or I haven't stumbled upon them or the documents will be hidden in perpetuity. Let's just say that, you know, I went up to Montana last fall in October and all I did was have to go to the Fergus County Sheriff's Department, look through their blotter, the report record, and I found six UFO reports in the September timeframe near nuclear weapons sites in Montana. This was the fall of 2012. I subsequently interviewed one of the eyewitnesses, a civilian named Jennifer Styler. I'd have to look at my notes. And she said she saw two boomerang-shaped craft approximately halfway between the missile site pole 03 and her home southwest of that site in September, I think it was 19th of 2012. So it's ongoing. Addressing your larger question, here is what I think is going on. Whoever these guys are, and I think it's multiple ET races in my view that are now interacting with humankind at this point in our history. They probably have been around for thousands of years, but let's just talk post-World War II. There's so much circumstantial evidence that the UFO activity just took a dramatic upswing at the precise time that we invented and began to test and began to employ nuclear weapons. That is just so well established. I don't think it's a coincidence. Now, why, I have been asked, don't they just sit down on the White House lawn and in the Kremlin courtyard and make clear to everyone they're real, they're here, and get out and say, get rid of your nukes? You know, why don't they address this directly face-to-face with our leaders in the nuclear powers? My view is that because they intend some contact with us in the future, the time has not yet arrived where they plan to openly reveal themselves to us, but they have had to, probably against their will or not by intention, had to start interfering with our nuclear weapons because there was a very great potential during the Cold War era for massive destruction planetary-wide. And I think what they've done is interjected themselves in an ongoing but stealthy fashion. So the public as a whole does not know this is really going on, but the military leaders in both the nuclear powers sure as hell do. And therefore, they can make a point, you know, to the Pentagon and the Russian military leaders, hey, you know, we're monitoring your nukes. We can shut them down if we want. And yet the public at the same time worldwide doesn't really have a sense that this is going on because the vast majority of the planet does not know anything about what I've discussed, what I've researched. So the secret is still secret for the vast majority of humans.
Well, I guess then that ET, whoever, whatever it might be, does not have a prime directive not to interfere. And just parenthetically, I'll mention this, but you can answer in our next segment. Do we see this in North Korea, which has nuclear ambitions? What about Iran? And their nuclear ambitions, are the UFOs hanging around there too? We have Robert Hastings joining us with Gogs McKay, Gene Steinberg, Chris O'Brien. You're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats, I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code Night Owl. Use the coupon code Night Owl to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
There's been a disaster, and most of you don't even realize the terrible danger we're in. Alex Jones has warned you for years to get a good food storage. We thought the danger was drought, or food delivered to our gas tanks, or our food sold to other countries, or food so expensive that only those on food stamps and welfare could afford it. but we have just experienced the most effective way to lose your freedom, liberty, and security without even a fight. Government regulation. After a 160-year tradition of self-reliance, the do-it-yourself and charitable Mormon food storage canneries in half the country are forced to shut down due to excessive government regulations. Grow your own food, more regulations. If you've ever been warned to get food while you can, this is it. Call 800-409-5633 or on the web efoodsdirect.com/Alex. That's 800-409-5633 or on the web efoodsdirect.com/Alex.
Imagine waking one morning only to find your family shivering in the dark because you couldn't afford to pay your electric bill. That's closer than you think. You probably haven't heard about this yet because the liberal media has been suppressing what is fast becoming the most shocking news story of 2012. Obama's secret war on coal that could increase your already high power bill as much as 400% in coming months. As shocking as it sounds, it may well be just a matter of time before the lights start going out across America. But here's some good news. There's an underground video at exposed123.com that thousands of smart patriots have used to end their slavery to the corrupt electricity monopoly. The video at exposed123.com has already been banned by Google, and the liberal media is doing everything in its power to take it down and keep America in the dark. So watch it now at exposed123.com before it's too late. Again, that's exposed123.com.
This message dares all fish oil consumers. Yes, many people now take fish oil supplements, but the makers of K48 Plus want you to know it's not what you consume, but how it is absorbed that counts. So we dare you to compare fish oil with K48 Plus. K48 Plus, an omega-3 powerhouse, is made with the highest grade and most potent dose of krill oil available, and is 48 times more easily absorbed than common fish oil. K48 Plus is both a remarkable anti-inflammatory as well as a powerful antioxidant. If you suffer from ailments such as diabetes, COPD, autism, arthritis, depression, migraines, lupus, Alzheimer's, glaucoma, joint pain, high cholesterol, memory loss, or Crohn's disease, you need to see the K48 Plus video at livepremium.net. That's L-I-V-E premium.net. Or please call 208-521-3601. That's 208-521-3601 and ask about K48 Plus. Restore hope, optimize health with K48 Plus.
Hi, this is Nick Pope. You're listening to the Paracast.
With Gene and Chris and Goggs, we've got Robert Hastings, author of UFOs and Nukes, joining us. And I presume you might have a comment about my last statement before the break.
Yeah, I've got one before Robert chimes
in. Chime in, Chris.
I would think that a sizable percentage of unidentified objects flying around Iran has a U.S., well, an invisible USA sticker on it.
The problem with Iran and North Korea is the same problem with China. They're closed societies. Westerners have very little access to information, certainly relating to sensitive matters such as UFO incursions, let's say near nuclear sites or military sites. So again, the same comment I made about China. I am aware of reports from both North Korea and Iran of UFO sightings. How credible those are, based on the articles I've read, they're not very credible reports. They're certainly not substantiated. While theoretically, I think, yeah, that's going on. The same thing with Israel. Israel, it's known, has a nuclear site in the Negev Desert. Within the past 5 years, I think it was, there were reports from the New York Times of an object being sighted above this plant in the Negev Desert. I know its name is escaping me at the moment. But anyway, it's their principal nuclear site. And there were reports in the New York Times and other papers of a spherical shaped object sighted hovering above this site, Dimona, it's called. But the reports spun it, and this may indeed have been the case, that this was simply an errant balloon that got over the site. Based on the eyewitness descriptions, I think that's a less likely explanation. So this may have been a bona fide UFO, but apparently whatever it was shot down by Israeli jets because it had violated the sensitive airspace. So again, to be redundant, theoretically, it's clear to me, I think, that anyone who has nukes is being monitored by UFOs, but finding reports in our own country, let alone a closed society like North Korea, is pretty tough. It's
virtually impossible, I would imagine.
Yep.
We have a lot of questions from our listeners, which they posted over at the Question Bank in the Paracast forum at forum.paracast.com. I know Robert is aware of most of those questions. We probably won't have time to ask all of them, but Chris will ask a short cross-section. Let's start with that right now.
Yeah, this is one that kind of sticks out to me, Robert. It does have to do with a researcher who has been, his work has been called into question, Phil Imbrogno. Of course, he is, one of his first books actually was quite popular and allegedly co-authored with J. Allen Hynek, who's already been mentioned in today's segment. But the book is called Night Siege. The event is the supposed UFO sighting and entity sightings at the Indian Point Nuclear Power Station just north of New York City. What do you know about that particular case? And do you, like I do, have a sense that possibly details were embellished?
Multiple witnesses have independently reported that there was UFO activity at the Indian Point nuclear plant on the Hudson River back in the late 80s. So I think, I mean, they've independently discussed this in newspapers and on television programs. I've seen witnesses who were driving up, you know, this parkway along the river north home, and apparently one night there were literally thousands of people who saw this thing because the traffic was so heavy. Cars were stopping, you know, large numbers of cars were stopping. People were getting out and looking at this thing. Unfortunately, getting back to Philip Imbrogno, my understanding is there is no question that he forged both his military and his academic credentials. He has misrepresented himself thoroughly, my understanding of it, based on quite credible reports I've read online.
Well, I'll tell you why. A lot of those reports originated with one of our regular listeners, Lance Moody, who did his own independent investigation, and then when we started to look into it, we realized that what he said was true. A lot of what this guy says about his educational background, well, a lot of it is false.
That's my understanding. And there's another UFO radio talk show host whose name is escaping me at the moment. I've been on his program, who independently checked out this situation and confirmed that indeed Imbrogno had basically misrepresented completely his military and academic credentials. If you guys want to help me with his name, you know who I'm talking about, I think. He's a veteran. He's
Don Ecker.
His leg and
Don Ecker.
Yeah, there. You know, he told me had an email exchange. I went to him. I knew his veteran status. I knew his familiarity with various things that Imbrogno had said, and he told me point blank in an email exchange that, yep, I checked it out. It's all true. Imbrogno has fraudulently represented himself. So that indeed is unfortunate. But getting back to my earlier point, fortunately, talking about the incidents at the Indian Point nuclear power plant on the Hudson River in New York, Imbrogno is not the only source of information for those sightings.
So, Robert, you know, correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think in Night Siege, doesn't Imbrogno, or possibly Files from the Edge, one of his other books, doesn't he say something about entities being seen, going through walls of buildings and that sort of thing? Do you recall any of that? Do you give it any credence?
I don't, actually. I read the book many years ago. I don't recall a specific reference to that. That's not to say that there wasn't one, but I don't recall.
Before we go on, let me tell our listeners what the Question Bank is all about. The Question Bank is an area of our forum at forum.theparacast.com. That is forum.theparacast.com. It gives you a chance to ask a question of a forthcoming guest when we have enough warning. Sometimes we don't. All you have to do is visit us, forum.theparacast.com. Sign up, join the forums. It's free. Your email box won't be inundated with spam either. We protect the people who join our forums. Sign up and post your own questions.
Okay, well, we do have a lot of questions here in the question bank, and I'm glad that you've had a chance to answer a number of them. But do we have any independent confirmation of multiple missiles going offline? This is actually a question that Goggs wrote out. And I seem to remember and recall from your book that upwards of 50 missiles, I think, in one event may have been impacted by some sort of incursion. Where do you stand on the number of events that could have simultaneously occurred in, let's say, one flyover or one visitation?
before the incident you just mentioned in October of 2010 at F.E. Warren Air Force Base, where apparently 50 missiles were affected. Prior to that situation, which I'll discuss more in detail in a moment, I was unaware of any incident where more than 10 missiles in a given flight, so those are 10 missiles controlled by a single launch control capsule, had been affected, had gone down all at once. There are multiple reports of that. The two best-known ones were at Echo and Oscar flight in March of 67 at Malmstrom Air Force Base, and I've got our articles about that at my website. The incident at F.E. Warren was rather intriguing. I held this UFO and nukes press conference on September 27, 2010 at the National Press Club. CNN streamed it live. One can go to my homepage at ufohastings.com and see the full length 63, I think it is, minute video that CNN streamed of the entire press conference. Not even a month later, on October 23rd, 2010, there was this report at the Atlantic website, used to be the Atlantic magazine website, I don't know its proper name nowadays, a reporter named Mark Ambinder apparently got leaked information saying that the Air Force at F.E. Warren lost the ability to communicate with 50 of its missiles for 59 minutes, was the story. However, given that I know about this ongoing activity at missile sites, I am... shortly thereafter made some inquiries, and I had a retired Air Force missile targeting contact who had active duty contacts at F.E. Warren. Long story short, by late November, not even a month after the incident, I had reports from eyewitnesses that missile maintenance teams were out in the field trying to ascertain why the base couldn't communicate with 50 of its missiles, five flights of missiles, five launch capsules. They could not communicate back and forth, could not, in effect, launch those missiles, could not be given the orders to. I got independent testimony from missile maintenance persons out in the field that a huge cigar-shaped object was sighted not only over a 59-minute period when the missiles were down, but during the next 2 days.
We have Robert Hastings, who will finish that answer in our next segment, because we got a lot more to cover with Gene, Chris, and Goggs. You're in
the podcast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Whether it's personal mail, whether it's business email, you want reliable, dependable delivery, freedom from spam, freedom from viruses. Well, Polaris Mail offers professional email hosting services for your personal or small business use. Each account uses 25 gigabytes of storage, an easy-to-use webmail interface, and full mobile sync. Sign up today for a 30-day free trial at PolarisMail.com, PolarisMail.com. So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
What do you do when your propane runs out and you don't have a large amount of wood for cooking? That's when you need a Grover Rocket Stove from StockStorage.com. The Grover Rocket Stove starts easily with any combustible material, like junk mail, small twigs, leaves, weeds, or dry sagebrush. Then just add a small amount of kindling wood, and you'll be cooking entire meals in minutes. Grover Rocket Stoves are made right here in the USA and are built to last a lifetime using heavy-duty, thick-gauge steel and are painted with high-temp paint to withstand heat. Go to StockStorage.com and see three great Grover Rocket Stoves, stainless steel, heavy-duty, or our original Grover Rocket Stove for only $135. And get free shipping to the lower 48. For phone orders, call 801-361-6984 or go to StockStorage.com. That's 801-361-6984 or StockStorage.com. The original Grover Rocket Stove minimal wood use cooking stoves, available exclusively from StockStorage.com.
If you're going to have a bunker, why not have an ultimate bunker? In case of pandemic outbreak, civil unrest, biological or nuclear fallout, or EMP attacks, stay safe in your own ultimate bunker, built for lasting security for any need or budget. Manufactured in Salt Lake City, Utah, each ultimate bunker includes free food storage and all the comforts of home. Learn more at ultimatebunker.com. That's ultimatebunker.com. Or call 801-661-3900. Ultimate Bunker. You can't do better than the ultimate.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
The government's Department of Homeland Security is buying up loads of ammo. At the same time, they're restricting civilians' rights to own and purchase firearms. Can you put two and two together? Infidel Body Armor can stop every round, including hollow points and 308 sniper rounds, is reasonably priced and fully legal. But for how long? Go to InfidelBodyArmor.com, spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L, BodyArmor.com. Infidel Body Armor. Just won't quit.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
This is Kurt Seven, the author of UFO Mysteries, and you're listening to the Paracast.
With Gene and Chris and Gox, we have Robert Hastings, author of UFOs and Nukes. Robert, you were in the middle of an answer there, and of course, commercial considerations forced us to break, but now you can continue an answer.
I was simply recapping what I know about the actual facts involving the incident on October 23rd, 2010 at F.E. Warren Air Force Base. After this story was broken by the Atlantic website by reporter Mark Ambinder that the Air Force had lost, allegedly for 59 minutes, the ability to communicate with five flights of missiles, 50 missiles, therefore, in effect, bottom line, they could not be launched for that 59 minutes. I subsequently contacted someone who has been mentioned in my book who provided information about his own UFO incidents in the 70s at Ellsworth Air Force Base, the same individual that talked about, made inquiries on my behalf of persons who were active duty missile maintenance personnel at F.E. Warren, who told him point blank that the teams that went out over a two-day period, October 23, 24, 2010, to try to ascertain the problem, why this communication snafu was going on and how to repair it, multiple teams came back to the base and reported seeing a huge silver-colored, dull, metallic gray, silver-colored, cigar-shaped object high above the missile field. And several teams independently came back and reported it. They said it did not have fins or a passenger gondola and no advertising on its side. It was not the Goodyear blimp. It was clearly a huge cigar-shaped object. These persons also told my retired missile targeting contact that the missile maintenance commander held a squadron-wide meeting and admonished the members assembled there not to talk to anyone about what they had, the quote was, the things they may or may not have seen in the sky, quote unquote. So quite clearly something more went on than just a prosaic computer chip issue, which is what the Air Force is officially chalking that problem up to. So it's ongoing. That's the last mass, what it seems to be a mass shutdown, based on witness testimony, eyewitness testimony. The one in Montana at Malmstrom this past fall in September 2012, I interviewed probably a dozen locals, civilians in Roy, Montana, who told me that shortly after UFOs were sighted around the Oscar flight missiles in September of last year, that suddenly there was a huge increase in the number of missile maintenance vans in the area around the town. The town is literally surrounded by missile sites, and also a dramatic increase in Air Force security police patrols. So coincidentally or not, at the same time, the civilians were reporting to the sheriff's office that they were seeing UFOs near missile sites. Suddenly, according to several people in Roy, Montana, there was a dramatic increase in Air Force activity at those missile sites.
Robert, if you can confirm that the power supply and the electronics for each of these missiles, if I believe, is completely independent, so that if the power fails in one, it will not adversely affect the others. So myself and Chris were just making the point that for one missile to go down, that could go down for a number of reasons, but for two to go down simultaneously, you know, the chances of that are pretty low. But for, you know, several to go down, the odds just quickly become astronomical. And as Chris had said to me, regardless of the UFO question, just the fact of, say, 10 independent missiles going down all at once, even if they, the engineers don't believe a word of the UFO thing, they must be scratching their heads thinking, this just cannot happen. Mathematically, it's so unlikely. What can you say about that, Robert?
All of that is entirely accurate, and the missile maintenance people that I've talked to, the launch officers, the targeting people, have all said just that the odds of 10 missiles going down at once is unheard of. I was on Larry King Live on July 18, 2008, with Robert Jameson, and among other people. He was a missile targeting officer who responded to the Oscar flight shutdown, which we now know it took place on March 24, 1967. That was Bob Salas's flight of missiles. Bob Jameson said point blank on Larry King, they were told that UFOs had shut down the missiles and given instructions on what to do if they'd sighted a UFO out while they were out in the field, bringing them back online. He says right on Larry King, I believe, the odds, you know, he walked into the control room, job control room, and saw all 10 missiles lit up red at Oscar flight. All the other missile flights were bright green. So clearly all 10 missiles had gone down. And he said the odds of that happening are just, you know, astronomically against it. Further, regarding the earlier incident at Echo Flight on March 16, 1967, the Boeing engineer, Boeing is the chief contractor for the Minuteman missile system, the Boeing engineer in charge of the team sent to investigate why the Echo Flight went down 10 missiles at once, a man named Robert Kaminsky, wrote a letter to a researcher named Jim Klotz in 1997, it's posted at my website, in which he said to Klotz that they found no prosaic cause for the loss of these 10 missiles. He said, this is Kaminsky saying to Klotz, he said that the Air Force came in and said, shut down your investigation. He said that was unprecedented. It never occurred before or after. And he said further that his liaison personnel, Boeing Air Force liaisons, told him that there were reports of UFO activity at the site when the missiles went down. And all of this, again, comes from the man who headed the engineering team that the Air Force tasked and Boeing tasked with investigating the incident. So it took many years for him to come clean about that. Maybe no one asked him, but he certainly went on the record in 1997 that this was a UFO-related shutdown.
Chris, we got lots more questions.
Oh, boy, do we. And this next one comes from probably the most creative of our posters here at forum.theparacast.com. Creative in terms of his name. He calls himself Yeti Turds for Sale. Not sure what to make of that, Robert, but moving right along. He has a number of interesting questions, which I'm going to ask through the remainder of our talk with you, but how many cases are you aware of in which the witnesses involved were physically affected in any manner? He says here, I'm thinking of the cases where experiencers displayed symptoms of radiation poisoning, the case where the guy had a burn mark on his body that was allegedly the pattern of some sort of exhaust grill. Are you aware, Robert, of any cases where missileers, security personnel, or others who may be at the site, in the wrong place at the right time, have been physically affected by some sort of flyover or interaction magnetic field or whatever that these objects allegedly produce?
Well, I'm racking my brain. I've been interviewing people since 73. The book that came out in 2008 had interviews with about 90 of them. I don't off the top of my head recall anything like that. On the other hand, there are two instances that have been reported, one at Malmstrom in 67 at Echo Flight, the other one at Ellsworth Air Force Base in 78, where the people involved, both of them were targeting technicians, trying to bring the missiles up in terms of reprogramming the targeting information in the guidance systems. In the case of Malmstrom, Bob Salas had a lengthy conversation with someone he calls Mr. X. This person said that he is not to be identified until his death, and therefore, even though I've worked with Bob Salas and we hosted this press conference together, I still do not know the identity of Mr. X. But Bob did check out his credentials. He was a targeter at Malmstrom. He was involved, by all accounts, in this Echo Flight, bringing it back up. What he said was, he told Bob Salas was, he was down doing his targeting work. The guard topside at ground level starts screaming for him to come up, and eventually he goes up to the ground level. He's down in the missile silo, the underground silo, and both of them see this glowing orange object, sort of disc-shaped, hovering, quote, not far out, that seemed to be sending out like waves of energy almost you could feel on your body. They could feel on their body like it was what he called low-frequency waves, I believe the term was used. Oddly, very strangely, he did not feel frightened by it, even though the guard was freaking out, and he just went back down into the silo and continued his work. And he said, he told Bob Salas that when he got to a certain point, something called the alignment of the collimator, in the process of restarting the missile, everything would crap out, and this happened repeatedly. And he said he had the very strong sense, whether it was telepathic or a hunch or who knows what, that they in the UFO were causing this. They were aware of the procedure in bringing up the missile. They knew where he was in the startup procedure, and they chose repeatedly at that point to indicate that they could shut down the restart process. That was this gentleman's interpretation of the event.
I'll tell you what, let's get into the finish of this in a moment. We have Robert Hastings, author of UFOs and Nukes, joining us this week, our special guest panelist, Gogs Mackay. You're on with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Gardeners, here comes another growing season, but don't use last year's soil. Maximize yields in your survival garden with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 is an organic soil conditioner, fertilizer amendment, and compost accelerant that provides a broad spectrum of beneficial microorganisms, enzymes, trace minerals, vitamins, and various organic acids. EM1 helps regulate the soil's pH level and its soil microbes, improving moisture retention and drought tolerance. Remember last year's dry conditions? EM1 from Terraganics is safe, chemical-free, and certified for use on all organic farms. It
improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, and gives up to 20% more nutrient value in fruits and vegetables and greatly increases shelf life. And EM1 is so simple to use, just mix with water and apply. This year, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TerraGanix.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics, life's getting better.